It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I will fucking kill you.
We are recording now.
Didn't you hear me switch into, like, the public voice?
Sort of, but you get like that sometimes.
God damn it.
Sometimes it's just to torment me, so.
Yeah, alright. Hatters, Tony and I just did the best bit in the universe. Ever.
Wasn't that good. I kind of thought you were serious.
Fuck off! And then the devil showed up and let me know that we were not fucking recording yet. You, like, start the recording before William even gets in the house.
No, I'm careful about that.
But then you have to ask me, like, five times if we're ready.
See, you don't know, because you're in the back. No, Jesus. I ask him if he's ready every time I do. Because sometimes he has shit to say that he doesn't want recorded. Like where the bodies are buried and stuff like that.
Whatever. This has been another episode of the Magical Talking Hat.
Wait, we haven't even introduced yet. They don't even know.
I'm just saying, I'm done!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat, the only podcast in the world that doesn't have William on it. He's doing every other podcast, but not this one. I'm Tony.
And I'm not William and or Trish. And I'm eating a mandarin. What do you call these? Clementines. Sorry.
Cutie.
Yeah.
You gotta say what episode number it is.
Oh, yeah. It's episode 7.
No, it's not. William's never tried that tack. Say, fuck it. I'll just name a number. Episode 14. Whatever.
I know. I'm kind of pissed because I, like, at lunchtime, I was planning this particular part of the conversation. I was like, I'm going to say, and my name's Trish, and this is episode 7.
No, I like it better this way.
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel planned. It felt like you, I don't know. Like you, I was trying to figure out, I'm like, is that the number of episodes she's listened to? Or is that the number she's been involved with? I'm like, no, that's not right either. All right. No, it is, in fact, I looked it up beforehand because I didn't think you would know.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 357.
Well, I got one of the digits right.
Yes.
If you just multiply what I said by 51.
Believe me, that was another one of the, wait. Really?
Really?
51 times 7 is 357.
Yeah.
How did you, I guess 50 times 7. Still, that was pretty impressive.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Math.
Girls are good at math. We gotta get this out of the way. So, if you're just joining us for the first time...
Sorry!
Yes. Here's how the show works. There's a hat, it's magical, and then it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool folks, nice folks, folks that really, really should do this soon, because the hat may be almost empty, hint, hint. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on, pardon the Ezzy noise in the background, the hat, all on its own, magically, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself.
You and William. I'm not part of this.
Well, I was about to say, it's essentially interchangeable servants, clearly.
No way, man. I'm not taking that on.
Oh, you mean you just did this episode out of your love for me? Come on. You know there were otherworldly powers drawing you here.
Like pizza sandwiches?
Yes. Otherworldly powers like pizza sandwiches. Anyway, some people, usually me and William, today me and Trish, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
So how does Gus fit into this?
He just wanders around and causes trouble.
Oh. He's pretty good at that.
It's funny. She never calls him Gus, but she immediately adopted this thing now where she's calling him Gus during the run of the show.
It's sitting in this chair. It makes me think of him as Gus.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, so William is not here because we had just a shitty weather. Like, yeah. The morning started like 50 degrees, but then we had ice storm, and then we had snowstorm, and the temperature just kept dropping, and the roads are pretty fucked up.
At one point, it sleeted.
Yeah.
And I was sad.
Slat? I feel like sleet should have a different past tense.
We fruck out.
This entire podcast is just going to be inside jokes from our marriage that none of you know.
And we've been married for 13 years, good luck with that. And
basically, all we do every day is try and invent new ones, so.
What was the question before we... Oh, yes, it was...
the past form of sleep, but before that, it was about the weather.
No. Yeah, because when I left the cafeteria for lunch to walk back, it was sleeting. And the collar on my jacket is not tight enough, so I was getting these little ice pellets that would go down my back, which was very not desirable.
Yes. Now, okay, what's the difference then between sleet and ice storm?
Because
somebody else mentioned the difference earlier, too.
I'm not sure there really is such a thing as an ice storm. Because I think...
It's usually some version of either freezing rain or sleet.
I think it's freezing rain.
Yeah, that's the real common. Yeah.
I think if you get enough freezing rain that limbs start to fall out of trees, then you call it an ice storm.
That would make sense. I'm always just like, if the car is just encased.
Yeah, I fucking hate that.
That's amazing. Which, for those of you who don't live in the Midwest, that is a thing sometime. Your entire car is encased in one solid coat that's like anywhere from an eighth of an inch to like half an inch of ice.
Yeah.
It's annoying, it's difficult to deal with, and it's a little scary. I don't know, there's something about it that I'm just like, it's trapped my car in an ice cube.
I feel like it's mostly annoying.
It is very annoying.
And because like basically you have to...
Because you can't even like pull the handle sometimes.
Right, you have to figure out a way to get into the car so that you can turn the heater on.
And so you can get your ice scraper, which you keep in the car.
And then you might as well just sit in the car for, like, a half hour, because until you can clear, like, one part of it...
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing you can do. And then, for us, like, it always happens... Well, I just never think about it until I get out there, and it's like that. And, like, the whole time, I'm cognizant of the fact that you're waiting for me. And so, like, I feel this pressure to, like, do it... Somehow today, quickly.
Today I almost was like, can you text me when you're actually driving? Because I thought it would take a while. When I went out with Dan for dinner, I got in his car and I was like, wow, it's really warm in here. And all of that. How long did you have this run? He's like, not very long. It's like, we have a garage. And I was just like, oh, damn it.
We do too. We keep shit in it.
We technically have one. There are boxes in there from where we moved in 2005.
Also mice. Oh my God. No, so
they live in that car.
The other thing about today is I go to leave...
Now, do keep in mind, ACT employees listen to this, so be careful.
Yeah, no, they can hear this.
All right.
I go to leave the cafeteria, and so I have, like, zip-up pockets on my jacket, right?
Yeah.
And I usually keep them zip because I keep the key fob in my pocket now.
Okay.
Because... if I'm out there, I'm wearing my jacket, and then the car will start and whatever, but I don't want to lose it, so I, like, by default, am usually pretty careful to keep them zipped up. But it was cold enough that I'm like, I need to put my hands in my pockets, so I unzip them, and I reach in, and there's the key fob, and there's something, and I'm like, what's that? And it's cough drop, and then there's this small, like, size of a piece of sushi... Like, not a sushi roll, but, like,
Beast of Nagiri.
Yeah.
What an odd choice for your illustration, but I get you.
That is furry. And I, like, yank my hand back out.
I was almost going to say, like, and you found a mouse?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was a mouse because Friday when I went to the veterinarian, they gave me two toy mice, one for Addie and one for Twiggle. They're in the cat carriers. But I
do love them when they get home.
But I put Addie's in the carrier with him anyway, and then I put Twiglets in my pocket and promptly forgot all about it being there. Tony and I both have occasionally, at least once in our lives, thought we saw a mouse toy and picked it up and discovered it was an actual dead mouse.
Yes.
And so now we are both terrified to touch anything resembling either of those things.
Did she just spit at him?
Yeah, she did.
He wasn't even really doing nothing.
No, but she was afraid he might not remember she was up there.
Well, that's our other version besides hissing, is Ezzie will sometimes just do a little thing at him. It's very weird.
Did we do anything interesting this week that we should talk about?
I don't know. I feel like I almost want to give you a go on the movies we saw earlier, like, to get your takes on them. Get Out and Star Wars and Bright.
Oh, gosh.
And Landline.
Nobody will like me if I say what I thought about Star Wars.
We didn't do much this week.
Just look for magic bands.
A lot of that. And I gamed. And then more looking for magic bands.
I got my hair cut, but they can't see me, so that's not very interesting.
Super cute, guys. We went to work for some of the days. All of the days. This was a full week.
I know, right? This is the first, like, full 5-day week, and then we go on vacation next week.
Oh, goodness.
We're going to be so fucked when we get back.
We're going to be on vacation next week, which means that the evil guys are going to have to cover.
Oh, wait. So am I supposed to not say when we're going on vacation? Did I make
that
rule for you?
I always wonder about that. You did not make that rule for me, but I always wonder. We have people watching the house and people taking care of the cats, so don't even fuck around, folks.
Also, our cats are attack cats.
Yeah, they are. Oh, this is also the really wonderful thing about doing the podcast with Trish instead of William, is I don't have to wear pants.
I did, though, because I was worried I'd be too cold if I didn't wear pants.
I was a little worried, too, but my desire to not wear pants, like, won out. I was like, you know what? I'll suffer through the cold, but I can just not wear pants. Because I hate everything in pants.
I feel like you hate pants more than everything.
That's true. It's not meant to be a ranked order.
Okay.
Just specifying.
Okay.
And, in fact, the fact that I say everything and also pants.
Yeah, like,
pants get said twice, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, you just may not have a very good understanding of what the word everything means.
That's also possible. Okay. Years ago, I was going to say before I knew you, but that's not true.
you weren't alive.
Before I did a podcast.
Whoa.
I listened to a different podcast called Jawbone Radio.
I think I remember that.
That I only knew because one of the hosts was a guy that I knew from a different podcast and who was in my World of Warcraft guild. And it's a podcast he and his wife did. And they had these little commercials and things like that, too. And
wait, did she play WoW, too?
No. Maybe she did a little bit, but that wasn't her. Their podcast was not about WoW.
Okay.
Their podcast was other stuff. Their podcast, in fact, I think their commercials compared it to Seinfeld and that it was a show about nothing kind of thing. And stuff okay. Like that. It was the early 2000s. We hadn't given up on Seinfeld memory yet.
Well, and I roll my eyes, but really, what is this about?
Nothing. Yeah. It's about a magical hat of talking.
Right.
I wish you guys could hear the eye rolls.
just assume one all the time.
William has no facial expressions at all when we do this, but... by the way, we're also doing this... But anyway, no, sorry. I'll jump ahead. So I liked... That podcast was fun, and it was mostly because of their interaction. And you and I now are reminding me of that so much. Like, that's the thing, is there's... you could do a podcast with a man and a woman. Or, I suppose, a man and a man, or woman and a woman. And it's not the same thing as a podcast with two married people. And you can hear the difference, even if they don't tell you. I feel like people who didn't know
so you're saying
would know we were married listening to this.
How long have we been recording?
14 minutes and 14 seconds, not counting the intro.
Okay, so you think you could record 15 minutes of a man and a woman talking and people could accurately predict their marital status?
No, only if it was a podcast.
Only if it was a podcast.
And there's probably
Does it have to be a podcast about nothing? X's.
Yeah, probably.
So, like, if we were talking about food...
Yeah, if we had shit to talk about, I feel like the tone wouldn't be the same.
If we had an agenda.
Yeah. I can't tell if this is more or less amusing than me and William.
I know, right? It could be really
I feel
boring.
Like it's one or the other, though.
I feel like this
it's either
is...
either way better or way worse.
This is more amusing to me than listening to you guys
Clearly,
record
you
the podcast.
Years ago.
No. Oh, my God.
She's getting her coat. She's leaving. Are you cold?
I am cold.
It is pretty chilly. Our house is very energy inefficient because it was made in 1958.
And because we've never done any caulking.
No. I've not had anything to do with caulk since I moved in.
Yes. 12 years ago.
Ooh.
What?
USB audio codec is set up and ready. I don't know. My computer's doing so many things. We are starting this podcast about the time William and I finish this podcast because, you know that thing when you have Windows on your computer and it's going to have a shit ton of updates and it'll take like 8 years to shut down? Well, that happened and I knew that happened, so I just left it for a different time and then I turned it on today. Nowadays, it takes 8 years to install them after you start it up. So it literally was like an hour of waiting for it to install everything before we could begin. And now it's freaking out about other stuff. Oh, have you updated this? You gotta do this. And I'm like, shut up.
But pizza sandwiches.
But pizza sandwiches. Would you care to explain pizza sandwiches?
No, I want you to explain why I want to talk about pizza sandwiches.
Because you're hoping that somebody out there actually knows how to make them. And we'll
that
tell you
had
the
actually
correct way.
Not occurred to me.
This is why I think you should explain it. Explain pizza
sandwiches.
No.
I want you to tell the Hatters what happened Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
You came home from gaming.
I came home from gaming.
And I was watching Netflix.
Yes.
And so you decided to start playing Mass Effect.
Because that's what I do. And I was surprised to see you in the family room, because you're usually in the bedroom at that point. And then... Oh, yeah, and then you spontaneously were like, I was like, what did you have for supper? And you were like, I tried to make a pizza sandwich, and apparently I don't know how, so it wasn't very good. And then you went on to something else. And I was finding myself wondering a whole lot of things. What's a pizza sandwich? I think right up there was why the hell couldn't you make it? Because I feel like... I don't feel like there's a sandwich that takes huge effort. Like, I feel like sandwiches are something you should be able to handle.
Yeah, but I mean, usually...
The and you've explained since
usually the name of the sandwich tells you, like, you know, if you're going to make a roast beef sandwich...
Yeah, it wasn't like Gothic cathedral sandwich.
Well, no, but it's not like you take a piece of bread and put a pizza on it and then put another piece of bread and that's a pizza sandwich.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. Do you know how many carbs that would have in it?
The same as a pizza plus two slices of bread.
See, and you thought math was hard.
So three carbs, but one of them is pizza size. No, but then I'm also like, if she didn't know how, why? I've never had the experience of like, I don't know how to make this sandwich, but what the fuck? Yeah, like just so many. But then I've also very quickly realized, well, especially like I said, she had gone on, but I was like, that I did not want to engage in this conversation, so we just left it. And it wasn't until the next day that I was like, yeah, I was really confused by that.
Yes.
But
and kind of annoyed.
Yes. Well, there were a lot of reasons I was kind of annoyed. But
yes. So then I had to explain pizza sandwiches to him.
Which you should do.
Because I had leftovers of the ingredients, and I was like, so... podcast night, we'll just have pizza sandwiches because it won't take very long and it won't interfere with podcasting.
Yes.
So, yes. Pizza sandwich is a thing that I had in college that they made at the Memorial Union.
Oh, so this wasn't in the cafeteria. This was
no.
a special thing you went to, like, the other... Okay.
Yeah. You could still use your meal plan. So, like...
Oh, could you? Okay.
Yeah. When I first started there, they only had cafeterias, like, in some buildings. Not every building had a cafeteria.
Oh, that's right. You had a bunch of separate ones and stuff. Yeah. That was weird.
And so, in the different dorms. And so, but then, when I was either a junior or senior, like, they built a thing in the IMU, and it was, like, it had different stations. So, like, there was this... Kind of like the cafeteria we have at work now. So, like, there was a sandwich station, and then there was kind of, like, a stir-fry station, and, you know, whatever. Yeah. And
I was gonna say, I got a little bit lost because I was spending forever trying to figure out what the I stood for.
Sorry.
And then I realized you were just doing IMU because that's what it is here at University of
yeah.
Iowa.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't even do that on purpose.
But was yours in memorial of someone?
I don't know.
Because you also called it
Memorial. I know, I did. And when I said that, I was like, was it? I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, see, here you have to say IMU or Memorial Union because there's also a bar called The Union.
Oh, yeah, so that's true.
You can't
that's
just true. Say. But anyway. So you could go there, and I don't remember how it worked, but like somehow you could use your meal plan there. Yeah. I don't know if it was like you could... just get an entree and a drink or like
points or something
up to a certain dollar value. I don't remember, but anyway, so we would go there quite a bit because, you know, cafeteria food is mass produced and pretty much anything that's produced like for you upon order is going to be better than whatever. Anyway, so they would make this pizza sandwich and which was bread and either provolone or mozzarella cheese, I don't really remember, and real thinly sliced red onion, and I think it was supposed to have bell pepper on it, but I would have them leave it off because I don't like bell pepper, and then like salami and pepperoni and pizza sauce, and that's all I remember about it, for sure. And when I'm telling Tony this last night, he's like, was it heated? And I'm like, no, this was 1993. We had not heard of a panini press. Like, there was no mechanism. You know, like, that was it. Sandwiches were just sandwiches. But yeah, I try to make this sandwich now, and it never lives up to my memory of the pizza sandwich.
I prefer to think of it not as, like, a nostalgia problem, but that there was some secret ingredient.
Right. Yeah,
like they sprinkled MSG on it or some shit.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, see.
But she explains to me what this actually is. And before that, she was like, we could have it Thursday because it'll be quick because you're going to have to podcast. And she's like, but I didn't get it right, so it still may not be good. And then I was like, wait, we could just have sandwiches. Like, if you just leave the pizza sauce off, it's just a sandwich.
And it's Tony's, so he's like, I'll put mayo instead.
So that's what I had, and it was fine.
And he called it a pizza sandwich, and I'm like, that is not a pizza sandwich!
Mine looked like a pizza, because I didn't open... She used pita bread, and I didn't open it. I just put it on top, so it was like a pizza, and then fold it in half. I mean, how was yours this time?
Still not great.
It's not there?
Well, and part of the problem was...
Well, you don't have the onion. That's a big...
Yeah, probably.
That's a spicy meatball, as they say.
And...
That was a little racist. I apologize.
And I probably should have put the pita in the microwave long enough to at least bring it up to room temperature, because it was still kind of cold.
Cold pitas do suck. Mine kind of sucked for that reason.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's my memory is bad, or... Like, and the other thing is, I feel like...
I want this to become a thing, like Jim Carrey in the number 23.
The quest that, like, for just, the pizza sandwich.
Yeah, and like, I come home one day, and there's just nothing but cured meats and different breads and stuff, and pizza sauce flung all over the kitchen walls.
Different ones, organic, yeah. And...
So, and just a bunch of sandwiches with one bite taken out and then thrown on the floor. Yeah,
and the other problem that I fight in the quest for the pizza sandwich is that I am confident.
Shut up! No, you just nailed the episode title. Quest for the pizza sandwich.
I'm 100% confident that if we even just took the simple step of toasting the bread, right, let alone making it a hot sandwich, it would be so much better.
But that's the,
but that's not,
going
not
for
the sandwich.
Exactly, we're not going for a good sandwich. We're going for that sandwich. Yeah. If you wanted to make a good thing that could reasonably call a pizza sandwich, I am confident that after 5 minutes of brainstorming, you and I could nail it on the first try. But I understand that's not what we're going for. We are recreating an adolescent memory.
Oh my god.
And that's a way harder to do.
Do you know what I told some of the testers on my team today?
Oh god, this should be interesting.
I was like, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'm like, this does not have to be perfect. This does not even need to be good. I just need this to be barely adequate.
See,
do you know how terrifying as a manager it is to say that to somebody?
And that's around the level of things that I feel like maybe you shouldn't say on a podcast. Like, I draw the line before that. Personally.
Because your boss listens to the podcast.
Luckily, no, but yeah, either coffee or my boss are going to immediately start emailing your boss and be like, do you know what she said on the podcast?
You can totally tell him tomorrow. I'll back it up. I was right.
I don't want to talk to your boss.
Well, I don't want to talk to your boss.
Why? She's fun.
She kind of scares me. Oh, wait. She listens.
Jesus Christ! You don't know how to podcast, clearly.
Right? Okay.
I'm
going to rephrase. I'm going to say intimidates. She intimidates.
No, I get that. She's very assertive.
Yep.
Or at least she is when she's trying to be.
And she always seems very busy.
Yeah, yep, she has that vibe.
And then the other thing is that I'm never sure if she recognizes me by sight or not. So
yeah.
Like sometimes I am kind of ready to like say hi but then I'm like not sure if I should say hi.
Given the number of people...
It definitely, I think, has more to do with my social anxiety than her. But
there's also... There are some things with her... No, I'm just trying to avoid not saying her name, because I feel like that's rude. That you get used to. This has actually come up recently with people who don't know her as well. And I'm like... There are certain things... Because she can be very assertive. And she tends to be fairly logical in her discussion basis, so sometimes it can seem like she's fighting with you, and that's not at all what's happening, but it sounds like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she's just not scary. And that's the thing, like, you just have to spend just enough time with her to know that she... But I mean, like, she's less scary than me. She's just...
Yeah, well, you're terrifying. But also, I mean, we have almost no reason to interact at work.
That's true.
Like, very...
She's gonna seek you out now.
Oh,
gosh. You know that's gonna happen.
But very rarely do I see her, like, in an actual, like, work context, other than we just happen to be walking down a hallway at the same time.
Or every once in a while, you guys are in, like, you know, the future of the world thing. The grown-up things. The managers and the directors and stuff have to have some training or whatever.
Yeah.
But then one of you will skip, because you're just so irresponsible.
Sorry. I was given one last chance to go to that training that was mandatory, and I totally didn't go again. I think I have a mental block. I don't know. Can we talk about that? Is that other stuff I shouldn't talk about?
I don't know. I feel like that's fine.
All right.
I'm starting to figure out a potential reason why we're either funnier or more entertaining or less so than I am with William is I don't have any control over you.
Wait, you have control over William?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
How does that work?
I only give him certain amounts of time to talk. I either am dominating the conversation or I'm letting him go on for 20 minutes about Batman.
I don't talk about Batman.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. You and I, like, jump in on top of each other and shit like that, which is more interesting, but also more distracting and less focused. No, I rule him with an iron fist. But you.
But I mean, you've studied Eastern philosophy.
At some point.
You can't. Seventh you grade. You can't control anyone else. You can only control yourself.
You can totally control William.
Baby.
It is not hard.
Everyone gets to control their own head.
I suppose. That's a rule Trish invented for our niece and nephew, or was it for the neighbor kids?
Neighbor kids.
I never know where it originated. Everybody gets to control their own head. And then something about not touching somebody's butt without their permission.
I don't remember that one.
That was another one.
That might have been...
I think that was niece and nephew.
Yeah. There was one time that I told them not to put any sticks inside anybody else.
Oh, ever. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No, you know what? I'm not going to ask.
No.
I do not want to follow that story.
No, it's just when you're, like, dealing with kids, you find yourself making rules. Well, first you make rules that are very specific.
Well, don't get me wrong, because, I am in favor of that rule.
Because I'm before we had the rule about everyone gets to control their own head, the rule was that she should not manipulate her brother's head for him. And then, at some point, after you've said it, like a zillion times in the specific context, you realize that, you know, just generally,
yeah,
maybe don't force anyone's head to go in a place that they don't want it
well,
to go.
Well, we've had that. We've seen somebody who's like, you don't yell at so-and-so when such-and-such. And we're like, how about just don't yell?
Right.
At all.
Or don't hit your brother on his arm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't hit your brother any other place, and don't hit anyone else on their arm. And the fourth quadrant. In this little picture here. Yeah.
Right?
Axes of places you can hit and axes of people you can hit. Yes.
And the answer is just no.
The entire hitting part, no. No, thank you. Yeah, we have not done a lot of it. I'm still playing just ridiculous amounts of Mass Effect Andromeda. I put 20 hours in just over the weekend. I'm still loving it. I don't even think I'm probably halfway yet. It's really fun.
I hope not. You only have like 3 planets.
Well, weirdly, there's a button you can hit to see the viability, and it has a list with like question marks in them, so I basically know how many planets I'm gonna be dealing with.
And how many are you?
It appears to be 5.
Really?
Yes. Well, I mean, that doesn't mean those will be the only planets in the game. Those will be the only planets where I'm worrying about the viability.
Yeah.
And I know 2 of them, actually 3 of them probably. And I have a theory about the 4. We'll see. I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say we should talk about something in the game, because I thought it was interesting, but it's probably too spoilery.
Are you worried it's spoilery?
Yeah.
And you can't tell me about it. See, this is the other problem with podcasting.
No, we talked about it. It was an ethical dilemma fairly early in the game.
There's tons of those, so that's hard
about,
to place.
Basically about who did something and whether or not it mattered.
Oh, the murder mystery one?
Yeah.
That is an interesting one. Yeah, I don't think we should talk about that. That one's fine. I will
but
say...
that kind of ties in... Like, I'm always weirded out by, well, you know, we've talked about, like, the whole idea of whether prison is supposed to punish someone or
yeah.
rehabilitate them, and if somebody did something 30 years ago and they've been on the run since then, and we find them, you know, do we throw them in jail because they haven't
yeah.
done their time? But, I mean, really, what...
Well, and then there are some.
What are we trying to accomplish here?
And also, can you have edge cases, or do you need to enforce the law that works for 99.9% of the situations?
Right. Or like, what about
then
the guy?
Everybody's like, I'm an exception.
What about the guy I told you about? I think on Monday. So there was this guy in Iowa City, and he was arrested after he ran a stop sign. Well, he was traveling at an unsafe rate of speed, and he ran a stop sign, and then ran a different stop sign. There were 2 guys in the back of the bed of the pickup, and one fell out, And then he crashed into somebody's yard and ran off. And then when the police showed up and found him and everything, there were 40 pounds of pot in the back of the car. But the part that's...
40 pounds.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, just take a minute to think about that.
Yeah.
But the part that really was kind of confusing to me was they were like... Because I think he was taken in for violating probation was technically why they took him in.
I
was going to say,
I thought he had been in already. And
right, because they were like, well, he was already wanted because he didn't show up for an appointment. There was one other thing, I forget what. Oh, he had gone into somebody's house that he wasn't supposed to. And I was like, that's just called trespassing. Like, that's a crime. That's not a parole violation. Yeah. And then he had stolen a car, which, again, I'm like, that's not a parole violation. Yeah. That's a crime. So I'm like, why is this guy not in jail already?
The whole
also,
thing
he's
is,
an idiot.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, at this point, give him a psych eval.
Or, like, an IQ test.
Something's
Jesus.
Going on there. No, but I will say, this morning, or maybe yesterday morning.
Wait, let me cap it off. And he straight up told the police that the reason why he was driving so fast and like a lunatic was because he had taken the pot from somebody else's house and was like making his getaway.
Can we get this over quick? This pot is stolen. I gotta get out of here.
Right? And like, okay, and so here's the weirdness of the legal system. That's not actually a crime because... The other people weren't supposed to have it in the first place. So he can't really be charged with stealing their pot. But he did get cited because there was no tax stamp.
Tax stamp. I love that law. The drug tax stamps are hilarious.
So, ladies and gentlemen, legal issues in Iowa.
With a crazy person. In the story, I'm not calling my wife crazy this time. No, this morning I had a quest in... Mass Effect Andromeda. I like it. Unlike the old games, they have the decisions, but it's not, here's the good decision and here's the bad decision. They're like, here's the decisions, you're going to live with whatever. And there was one this morning, or yesterday morning, I think, that was really difficult for me to do, and they really were playing it up a lot, and like different characters were saying different things about it, and I was really kind of worried. And so I cheated. I went online and I looked to see what would happen. And I got online, and they were like, yeah, you have to pick this or this. And they're like, whichever you pick does not change the outcome of the quest, nor affect the larger game in any way at all. I'm like, God damn it. But it was fun, because Stu's also been playing the game, and we're at roughly similar points. And so he and
Stu was AWOL. Like, he'd been kidnapped by bad guys or something.
No, he took a week off last week, I think. And now he's around.
I like my version better.
Yeah, no, I mean, that may have been what happened, but the cover story... is he was on vacation, and then yesterday, I don't know what happened.
It was probably the Irish, you know. That came out sounding...
Yeah! What are we...
I don't know.
Is this like a Northern Ireland joke? Because maybe
no,
too soon?
No, it was just because he was Welsh, and like I thought there was somewhere to go there, and then it just came out sounding appalling, and I didn't really know how to follow it up.
Generally speaking, the Welsh and the Irish just buy each other beers and bitch about the English.
How do they understand each other? Oh, wait, I'm thinking of the Scotch. Does Helen listen to the podcast? Can I just alienate all of the people we know who listen to the podcast?
It should be pretty easy. There aren't that many people who listen.
Azure Talon.
Just name them.
You're an asshole.
It's really hard to alienate Azure Talon.
I know. You've been trying for 357 episodes.
I feel like say nice things about him or what? Decry his view on hot dogs, maybe? That's been
what
a thing.
What is his view on hot dogs?
I don't... He just keeps... He's really obsessed with the ketchup on hot dogs and whether or not that's okay.
Oh, I feel like it's okay.
That's usually how you eat them.
Yeah. Does he have a feeling about natural casings?
In general or on hot dogs?
I meant on hot dogs, but I mean, okay. If he has one in general...
He hasn't said. If you know Azure Talon's feelings about natural casings on hot dogs, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. You don't have to be Azure Talon. We'll take anybody's word.
Even if you don't know and you just want to speculate.
Yeah. No, absolutely. What could he be thinking?
Right.
I fucking hate that guy. But he's, to date, I believe the only person who's listened to every single episode.
William.
Yeah. Hate that guy too.
Ouch.
Oh, it's different kitties. Twiglet and Addie are playing in the hallway, or at least Twiglet's playing. I don't know that Addie wants to, but...
Addie always wants to play.
He didn't seem
like it.
Did
you tell the Hatters about Walter?
Walter.
That lives in our
front yard. Oh, alright. So, New Year's Eve. Trish isn't feeling well, so she's not going to go to the New Year's Eve party. But I'm going to drink heavily, so I can't drive. So she goes and drops me off. She gets there, and outside our friend's house, there's a flamingo, like a lawn flamingo, wearing a sweater. And she's like, that's cute. I was like, it is. I wonder where that came from. I don't know. Anyway, so the night goes on, blah, blah, blah. It's like 4 days later, I'm leaving our yard, or I'm leaving our driveway one day, and I notice we've got one in our yard. And apparently, we had already figured it out that night.
When I came home that night.
That it was coffee and Neuroduck had been putting these.
Because when I came home that night and I went to go in the driveway, like the headlights caught it and I saw it.
So yeah, it turns out that coffee and Neuroduck were going around putting these in various friends' yards.
And it's awesome.
It is. It's not like somebody made a flamingo wearing a sweater. They took a lawn flamingo and then seriously, I assume knitted, maybe crocheted, an actual fucking sweater for the lawn flamingo.
Yeah. I have a picture of it on my phone if you want to put it up on the...
Yeah, send it to me. Probably not, though. But yeah, so we named ours Walter.
Because my family wanted to know what its name was.
Yeah, that was like their first question. So.
Also, he appears to have gotten a little bit, like, not damaged, but... The ice seems to have impacted
him. Oh, no. Oh.
He was kind of leaning when we came in tonight.
Poor Walter.
So, when it thaws again, we'll have to take a look and see if he needs any rehabilitation.
Do we just keep him out there all year round and just take his sweater off when he... I don't know if that sweater can come off.
I haven't looked at it carefully because, you know, it was cold. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think he needs to be dressed for all the... Maybe we should make him, like, a stove... What do you call that? Stove?
Pipe hat.
Yeah, for President's Day.
You can get on that.
Well, I've got like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to make it out of like that foam. Never mind. You
know, no, whatever. Do it. I'm all for it.
I'll make him a hat.
Yeah. Can you make him a fake beard too?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Alright, maybe we should draw something out of the hat.
You don't think that our silence is entertaining?
I never think that mine and William's silence is irritating. I usually have to punctuate it with...
entertaining.
Sorry, entertaining. I don't think it's entertaining. I do think it's irritating. I usually punctuate it with, here you are at Peter's Donuts. But,
What is here you are at
Peter's? Here we are at Peter's Donuts. I'm going to be tongue-tied tonight. It's a McKenzie Brothers reference.
Oh, you and the McKenzie Brothers.
They can't hear that.
That's all right. They were thinking it.
All right, yeah, so let's draw. No, William draws first, and you're the William.
Yeah, William's not here. You draw first.
But it's a tradition.
But I already made a big stink about how I don't have anything to do with
each
the hat.
Each of us is a fiddler on the roof.
Whatever.
You missed out on news. We watched Flash Gordon again.
Tradition!
Neuroduck had never seen Flash Gordon.
Oh, I should have told him about all the weird stuff that I learned about Eva Perón. I'm sure that would be thrilling.
That was weird.
Yeah, right?
Instead, you can just say, go to Wikipedia, look up Eva Perón.
Actually, I think I read several things before I learned all the weirdness.
If you want to, we got a little time if you want to.
No.
Something like that. It's because I made Trish watch the Eva Perón episode of The Simpsons the other night. So she
and then I got Evita stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And so then I listened to it, and then I always get confused about whether Eva Perón is a sympathetic character or I should secretly hate her because she was a fascist.
It goes back and forth a little. It's odd.
But wait, let me tell you another thing. And so ever since then, I've had this one particular line because I always like it. There's a point where he sings that distance... lends enchantment, and that is why all exiles are distinguished, more important, they're not dead. I could find job satisfaction in Paraguay.
Oh.
And I just think it's funny. It's been stuck in my head. And so occasionally I'll be like walking down the hall at work and it'll sneak out that I could find job satisfaction in Paraguay. Which I don't know. Like, is Paraguay a place you want to go right now?
Me personally, no. But I don't think it's Paraguay's fault. I just don't feel like doing intercontinental travel.
Okay, but I mean, is it a relatively safe place?
I don't know. If you know about Paraguay,
does it even
comment
still
on
exist?
The blog, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com? I think so.
All right, I'm gonna look it up. You read the question.
All right, this is a question we'll take out real easy. This is from Beth. We haven't had a question from Beth in a while. Beth, help, you're still listening.
Yeah, we haven't alienated Beth yet.
I think we did several times, but she keeps coming back because she's a masochist. Also, because it's Beth, of course, this question has been abridged because she writes freaking novels in her questions, which don't fit well on half of a 3x5 card.
Paraguay still exists.
I thought it did.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple of them.
What?
Paraguay. And there is Uruguay, so, you know, it's...
I see. They're kind of near each other. Alright, what does Beth want to know?
This is an abridged version, but it says, is the justice system really fair when people can just buy the best lawyers if they have enough money?
No.
No, no. It is absolutely not. There's actually, and I've made you watch this one, so I know you know it. There's a really good episode of Adam Ruins Everything all about this.
I don't remember.
Yeah, the Adam Ruins the Justice System, because in that one, his sister, played by Rhea Butcher, is a public defender.
Okay.
And so his bits, the first bit he has to do with all the proven, like statistically proven biases against various things, like defendants that wear glasses seem smarter and other things like that all the time. And, you know, if you're black, that's often not good for you as a defendant and all things like that. Then he goes into all the fucked up stuff around the jury process. And then she ends it with the talking about public defenders who are ridiculously overworked, ridiculously underpaid and underfunded.
Yeah.
It's you know, a nightmare.
I think it's in Alabama. I'm just going to say in Alabama because everybody will believe it.
All right. Sounds good to me.
They literally basically had people group plead because they had so few public defenders.
Yeah.
And so they would bring like 20 people in the courtroom and like they would go down the line and say guilty, 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 and then they would sentence them all and kick them back out.
And then
also, this is not directly related, but I forgot to tell you earlier. Did you know that Joe Arpaio, or however you say
it? Arpaio?
Is running for Senate
in Arizona, yes. He's still saying the craziest of shit, though. I'm hoping that up. Just recently, like a day or two ago, he said that beyond a shadow of a doubt, he has evidence that he won't discuss now, but he'll show it to you if you ask. Absolute evidence that Obama's birth certificate is fake.
What's that got to do with being fucking senator of Arizona?
I don't know, but I feel like if he keeps talking like that, we'll be in okay condition.
Alright, that's the kind of shit I said when Trump was Arizona, running.
Don't vote for him.
We are... No, they need to do better than that. They need to figure out your shit and who you're going to put up against this dude.
Yes. Deal with him. That's all
wow,
I'm
that
say.
Sounded ominous.
You read into it what you want to hear. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. That sounded almost as bad as my comment about the Irish. Hi, Izzy.
I'm racist against Joe Arpaio?
Probably.
I'm okay with that.
I mean, I don't know what, but you're somethingist against him.
I'm okay with that.
Possibly more than one somethingist.
Yeah, possibly.
Right. So anyway... Buying the legal
also,
system.
No, also, I forget, in some states now, the public defense system is so poorly funded that you get charged for your free attorney. They bill you after the fact.
Yeah, I forget all that
works. I think you can get around it because I think they sort of don't enforce it if you don't pay or something, but yeah.
But I always found this idea, I mean, so obviously Tony and I don't believe it's true, like, whatever.
That we don't believe that is fair.
No. I always found this idea, I mean, because the legal system is fundamentally based on this idea that all lawyers are equally qualified, yeah. Or that somehow magically the truth, capital T truth, will somehow prevail. Like it's just a weird idea.
Well, and we're raised to believe that
we're
going to
give
often.
You somebody to represent you because we don't think you're smart enough to do it yourself. But then we're going to completely ignore the fact that who has that job is relevant in any way.
Yes, yes. And it's, I at least, I mean, I don't think directly, I don't think my parents sat down and were like, the system works and all this jazz. But I mean, I inherently was sort of raised to believe that that's a thing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I come from a white middle-class family, so that probably helped.
But also, I think that probably helped. And again, I don't think it was explicit, but I think it's buried in, you know, so, like, in school, you learn about Daniel Webster, and we read To Kill a Mockingbird,
yeah.
Which also has that, like, thematically running through it. Like, so, it comes up at school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The truth wins is a very common motif. But, I mean, you constantly hear, especially if you're dealing with lower socioeconomic class or somebody who's a minority, you can hear all sorts of horror stories.
Oh, yeah.
Many of which are horror stories because we figured out it was messed up, but they still don't end happily. Like, so-and-so went to jail for 20 years for murder, and it turned out they didn't do it, and so they let him out, but that's it. They didn't get anything for it, and they've been incarcerated for 20 years. They have no skills, da-da-da-da-da. All the time.
Us, what are you going to give them?
Well, you watched a TV show where the guy sued for millions of dollars.
Yeah, but that was a TV show, and it wasn't real.
Yeah, but I think people think like that was something they somehow
could
do.
Well, I think
do.
It did happen a little bit initially.
Sometimes, depending on the circumstance, if they can prove culpability of the correctional institute or the state or something.
But also,
but if it's just like, oh no.
That's just weird, though, too, because innocent. Where do you think that money comes from? It's not like it magically appears someplace.
Yep.
That means that however much money we give to this person, which we probably should give to them because we screwed them over, but that means that the state has that
little
less
money
to do all the other things they're supposed to be doing. So it's we're still not getting ahead.
This is getting tricky for me, though, because as I'm getting older, I don't know what it's a complicated thing, and I know the system is broken. I don't know what I think a non-broken one would necessarily look like. I mean, in terms of reality, I mean, in a perfect world, I would magically make all lawyers equally clever, and then, you know, we'd go from there.
But remember when you were 20 and you just knew how to fix everything?
Well, and I just remember my mother talking about, I think it's a Thomas Jefferson thing, and I totally bought it, and she totally bought it. This is one that's really been sticking with me lately. Better 1,000 guilty men go free than one innocent man be put to death or put in jail or whatever like that. And I really used to believe that because the most important thing was that the innocent should not be punished for things they haven't done. And I am... I don't necessarily feel that way anymore.
Wow.
I've been talking about this specifically in terms of the allegations of rape and sexual assault and things like that. I'm like, at this point, so many rapists have gone free, I'd be willing, even if it ends up being me, for a few innocent ones to go to jail, just so that society as a whole balances a little more, or at least there's the idea that it's actually a thing that you could get in trouble for.
I don't know. I think.
Well,
I
like it better than 1,000 rapists get away with it.
I think my genetic libertarian is struggling with this.
No, absolutely. And I absolutely understand why. And like I said, for most of my life, that was my view. But I'm starting to be like, this is a society, and it's about the society as a whole.
And fundamentally, when we talk about issues of sexual assault and rape, it's about why do we as a society allow this to continue?
Yes. And it's one of the reasons is it's really easy to get away with it. Even if you're brought to trial.
It's really easy to get away with it because as a society we've decided we don't give a shit.
Well, yeah, okay.
Putting people in jail doesn't fix the problem.
Yeah, you're right. Again, in my mind, I'm not just like, fuck the innocent, but I'm like, if somehow I could have a deal where a few more of the guilty ones didn't get away with it, and in exchange, some innocent ones had to go to jail also, I'm like, I might take that deal.
See, it's just like the conversation we had around... that we've had repeatedly over the sexual assault allegations that, you know, are spinning up the news cycles. Like, I'm tired of having the conversation about, I almost said Jack Black, as some generic name. Apparently
about Jack
Black. I didn't want to go with Joe Smith, and I thought I'd be slightly more confident.
As far as we know, there are no allegations against Jack Black in any form.
I like Jack Black.
He's a great guy.
Not heard anything bad about him.
Turns out James Franco may be a fucker, but anyway, that's a different story. Yeah, is anyone surprised by that one? That's weird. Like, I don't dislike him, but I'm like, you know what? That fits.
It's kind of like when Richard Branson was accused, and I was like, and we're surprised about this one.
Yeah.
But anyway, you and I have had the conversation before. I'm like, I'm tired of having this conversation about, see, and then I'm like, Joe Green, because I'm like, you know, generic first name and color last name.
Who the hell are you shooting for?
I try to come up with a more generic
Harvey
name.
Weinstein?
Sam Smith. Damn it. No. Okay.
Oh, you're trying to come up, how about John Doe? Let's go with John Doe. You're just trying to come up with a not
a
real
generic
name.
I thought you were
trying to come up with a person and just
missing. No, I was trying to come up with a generic name, but not be like completely boring and say
Langdon
John Doe.
Langdon Auger.
Okay, Langdon Auger. Instead of talking about whatever atrocious thing Langdon Auger did, like, let's talk about the fact that apparently men with a certain amount of status just think they can do whatever the fuck they want to do.
And
let's talk about that.
And I
because
do think
that's
that is
an issue.
Finally starting to happen because you were saying it very early on. And eventually I saw people online saying something similar. And now we've got shit like the Time's Up organization and several places, including the Supreme Court, that are evaluating how they do their sexual harassment training, how they handle their sexual harassment. So I do think it's happening. I'm still... We as a people, not just even Americans, but people on this planet, are really good at getting really into something and then fucking forgetting about it. And so I am worried about that. But more and more, it seems like this is starting to yield real results. And I'm excited about that, very cautiously.
I get nervous when you get excited like about shit like that.
Black Panther's gonna be awesome. Trish is really nervous about Black Panther, because she really wants it to
so
be good.
Excited.
And it looks really good. But we've been bitten too many times by that kind of thing. But Black Panther really does look good. Oh, I want it to be good. They pulled off Wonder Woman. I mean, there was different people, but...
Who's the director for
the
Black
military
Panther?
Industrial filmmaking complex. Who is Black Panther? I want to say it's James Wan's doing Aquaman. I don't know who the director is on Black Panther. You're breaking one of the cardinal rules of the podcast by looking it up, but I'll allow it.
I already did it
because
I looked up Paraguay.
All right, we're almost out of time on this podcast.
Ryan Coogler.
Who the fuck is that?
Coogler.
No, I'm not accusing you of getting it wrong. I'm saying I have no idea who that
well,
is.
Well, I was, because I was like, maybe I'm not saying it correctly, but...
Coogler.
No, wait. I'll tell you who he is. Ryan
Coogler.
He also wrote the screenplay.
All right. That's either really good or really bad.
He's a black man.
Good start. Not going to lie. Good start there.
Director of Creed.
I've heard good things about that movie. I don't give a fuck about boxing movies. So.
And, some other movies that I've not heard of. Fig, Lox, Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station I've heard of. Oh!
The Sculptor.
Yeah, no, Fruitvale Station was a big hit. All right, this is a very good sign, I think. And David Ayer is nowhere near it. That's good. All right, well, we're out of time here, people. So, if you... You know what? Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and weigh in on how Trish and I do. As well. This is the first time we ever did this. William and
Trish did it one time. Yeah, we normally never speak to each other.
No. This is the most we've said... I was going to say all year, but that doesn't really...
I was going to say since our vows.
We had vows?
I did.
And I'm not going for it. I'm not taking the joke, because...
I'm not sure what joke you're declining to make.
I used to make a joke, and it seemed to bother you, so I've stopped making it.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's the most romantic thing you've said to me since our vows.
Since our vows. As
is this about how I got them from a Father's Day card?
It is, in fact, about how you got your wedding vows from a Father's Day card.
I read them, and they were exactly what I wanted to say.
And at the time, I was super moved by them, because it wasn't until days later that I found out you got them from a Father's Day card.
And I
did wonder why you called me Daddy in the ceremony.
Well, that was a fetish thing.
That's what I assumed.
And you never really followed up on it,
The Father's Day card wasn't. I feel like that's just an extension of that.
To be fair, I wrote other parts of it.
You did.
I just used that.
And in her defense, I didn't write shit down. I had stuff in my head that was for reals, but I didn't write any of it down. I winged it. That's how I do my best work.
Also, to be fair, I told you very specifically one thing that... I do not consider to be appropriate in wedding vows, and you absolutely did it.
What did I do?
I don't think... It bothers me when the full extent of wedding vows are kind of... Well, and it wasn't the full extent of yours, but when they're like, I'll love you forever. Because I'm like, vows are things that you are promising and committing to, and like, I don't feel like you can promise and commit to that.
No, I did that because I totally agree with you on that now.
I think you did.
But that is the thing, though. Like
I was going to say, we'd have to listen to the recording, but of course all we could hear in the recording was...
It was very windy. No, and that's a whole thing. Like, if I could do our wedding vows now, I would do something very different. And of course I would.
Oh, yeah.
But no, but not just because we've been together and I know you, but I'm like...
Well, but we're also different people.
Well, and I now actually fucking know what marriage is.
Right.
And despite the fact that I was very excited and got it, and I'm glad I did, I had no idea back then. Like, But anyway, go on the blog and tell us how we did compared to me and William.
And how much we alienated y'all.
We could get rid of William really easily if you like us better. She lives here. It would simplify a lot.
We could just lock the door.
Yeah, that would be the only step we would have to take. And it would simplify
actually,
a lot of recording.
Do you think we could just not answer the door?
No, he opens it himself now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
after 357 episodes.
Well, because I was not going to fucking get up anymore.
No, but I thought you had to, like, yell come in or something.
I used to do that. He finally figured that out. Anyway, also, please write into the hat. The hat is very bare right now.
Also,
themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
If Tony's boss tackles me in the hallway tomorrow, I promise to report on the blog.
That'll be hilarious. She's gonna get you.
See, I almost said her name that time.
You gotta be careful. I had to preempt you before you said anything about Neuroduck coffee, because I very purposely...
Well, and that was good, because I know Coffee's...
Coffee.
Had her name, but I didn't know Neuroduck.
Neuroduck, yeah. All right. Good night, everybody.
Wait, did you say follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff?
No, because we don't have Twitter. And I've given up telling people to like us on Facebook because they never do.
Can you dislike people on Facebook yet?
No.
Okay. Well, at least there's not that.
Don't do that either. Don't dislike us on Facebook.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, Visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.